On today's episode, Liz and I have a great discussion with Kevin and Tracy, a remarried couple who have navigated and survived the challenges of not only blending families, but working and managing a business together. They open up about the real and raw challenges they experienced in the early years and working through the stress of raising children together, with two of those children struggling with mental health challenges. We think you'll be inspired as you learn about what keeps them together through the ups and downs of marriage. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State University Extension alongside Dr. Liz Hale. Well, psychologist Liz Hale, I can call you Dr. Liz. Liz, you help so many people. Together we're on this mission. We're trying to help as many people as we can have a stronger marriage connection. So we're giving them the tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Today, Liz, I'm excited. This is going to be an awesome episode. We're going to learn so much. I can feel it already. Together, the couple today, Liz, they've experienced a challenging but inspiring journey of building a stronger remarriage and family. Kevin and Tracy Parr, welcome to the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
Yes. Oh, so excited that you're here. First, thank you for your willingness to come on and share a bit about your journeys, both the ups and the downs. I think really people need to hear all about the ups and the downs because they can relate to those experiences. But I think some of your challenges and experiences will be helpful for many of our listeners who encounter their own struggles and opposition on their journey for hopeful marriage and even remarriage. So let me back up a bit and point out that you both work together, right, managing a company called Grandma's Herbs down in St. George, Utah for nearly 20 years. So I have to ask, how has that been working? I mean, side by side, you're working together, you're managing this company. Some research suggests that working together in a business can bring its own ups and downs, its own challenges and unique experiences, even a stressor in marriage. So how have you managed that aspect of your lives?
He looks at me. Maybe I'm the more stressed one. I don't know. Actually, it's been really easy for us. I don't know. I guess we're like go against everything that they say. But actually, when we started working together, we started doing better. And I don't know if being around each other more, because since we kind of rushed into marriage, we did have to get to know each other. And that's a good way to get to know each other, to be locked in an office together.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're literally side by side. Is that right? And you're in your home office.
Other. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
And you only went on four dates, I understand. You met in April, married in August. That's almost like my marriage. Maybe we won't talk about that right now. We're talking about yours. Can you set the stage for us a little bit, please?
Well, so it was four adult dates, but we spent the whole summer pretty much together. We were chasing kids around, baseball games and softball games. And I think there was a few soccer games in there. And we got to about the middle of July, and everything just kind of came together. Tracy said that she wanted to go to Montana to visit her family. That's where she's from. And I told her that I'd love to go to Montana. I'd never been there. And she said, well, I won't take a man to Montana until I'm married to him. And I don't know what made me say it, but I think she tricked me. But I said, well, I'd love to go to Montana. And then she kind of turned on me and said, is that a proposal? Did I have that about right?
Yeah, our perception's a little different, but that's pretty close. He said he tricked him. I say he tricked me, but nonetheless, it was whirlwind, and you know, we just both decided to go for it. So we did.
What do you think it was that brought you together, Kevin and Tracy? What was it about Tracy, Kevin? What was it about Kevin, Tracy? What drew you that you would say, after some pain of your first marriage is ending, right? That you would say, oh, this is really more of a match for me.
Well, I guess I have to say that I married up, meaning she's kind of, I don't know, she's just better than I should have been able to attract and smarter than I should have.
Maybe I'm not smart.
there's a lot of things that she kind of had to overlook with me that, you know, I wasn't making the grade in a lot of her thoughts of what her next husband should be. I was very freshly out of a marriage. 1995 kind of went in January. I was separated. In April, I was divorced. And I think we actually met in the beginning of May, not the end of April, but it was right in there somewhere. Then we spent the summer getting, well, just chasing kids
and each other
and August 4th, we got married. And I don't know, it's been pretty good ever since then.
That's lovely. So how many years marriage? Do the math for me.
28.
Please? 28. Congratulations.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I had a few friends that thought that this was kind of a rebound thing for me.
And I understand.
I'm getting close to proving them wrong, I think.
Yes, you are.
We're getting close to proving them wrong.
How many children did you blend together, my friends?
Kevin had two and I had one. I had the baby. So he had two older children and I had the baby.
So when we got married, they were 10, 7, and 3.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you were told that if you could survive the first 5 years of remarriage and step family living, that you could make it. So what were those first few years like? As you remember back, right, as far as the challenges and how did you overcome those challenges? Because you've mentioned things like parenting and trying to build a relationship bond at the same time. Tell us about that.
The first couple of years were quite a learning curve for the whole all five of us. Probably the biggest challenge was me trying to integrate into Kevin's older children. I was working full time when we met. We both were. Kevin was working 70 hours, and so it was kind of a struggle with trying to just work full-time, both of us, and then try to get our family together. So I think our biggest challenge was, first off, communication, trust issues. It took about a year before I realized I needed to quit my job and be in the home. And so I started a little home-based business so that I could be at home with the kids. That was awesome until Kevin's children decided they didn't like that because they'd never had someone be in the home to, in their words, boss them around. And so, but it's really what needed. We were able to give them some stability and some just, you know, ways that each day we had our regimen that we did. And as much as they fought it, it just really helped them. And it helped us as well. So that, you know, I wasn't working all day and dead tired by the time he came home. Our biggest challenges were the children all feeling that, you know, my son was kind of an only child and then all of a sudden he had to share me. Kevin's kids, you know, they had a new mom that, you know, they weren't too sure about. So I think our biggest challenges were the trust issues and trying to overcome. Just, you know, I had to try to live up to what they felt I should be as a mom. And my son was young enough that instantly he was, you know, this was dad instantly. I kind of had to earn my spot, if that makes sense.
How did you do that? How did you do that, Tracy, and looking back? And did you handle disciplining your son? And then, Kevin, you disciplined your two? Disciplined, i.e. coached, whatever the word is.
I think it's probably we both. I mean, we had a lot of discussions that were away from the kids about our different parenting styles. But in front of the kids, we were pretty united in what our goals were. I think that was too one of the, you asked us earlier about what brought us together. And I think that that was one of the attractants that we had to each other, is that we both came from marriages that were, they had, our spouses thought that there were other places that they could go for some of their physical needs. And I think that we both broke it down pretty simply. You know, we both wanted to be a parent, a mother and a father, and we both wanted to be married, and we both wanted to come have our kids come up in a stable, more traditional kind of a household. Not saying that untraditional is a bad thing, but that was our goal. That was, and so we shared that, and I think we kind of kept that in sight all the time.
I can see. That's just really powerful. You know, the research says that children experience intense challenges, right? And when they experience intense challenges, it creates a lot of stress for a family. So you didn't just have this beautifully blended family, Kevin and Tracy. You also had a child who struggled with ADHD and a child who was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia in college. How did you manage that stress as a couple? And please, what tips do you have for the couples who have children who struggle with mental health challenges? If it weren't hard enough already.
Right. Our oldest son, Adam, he's the one that struggled with ADHD, and it hit him about puberty age. And he and I kind of clashed quite often as that happened. And, you know, for me, a little backstory on me, I could not have my own children. My youngest son is adopted. And so when I ended up being a single mom with one child, I did not want him to be an only child. So for me, finding someone that had custody and raising his children was a bonus for me. And I think it was a little easier for me to be able to be patient with Sammy and Adam because I couldn't have my own children. So all my children have literally been given to me. So I think for me personally, that was helpful to not allow Adam to literally try to drive me out of the home. So, and tell me to leave often. And
he gave it a try.
Yeah, he gave me a try to get me to leave. But I just so desperately wanted to have that family life. And I knew he wanted it too. And so there were many times in the battle and the heat that all I could do and what all I did do when allowed was just hug him. That was it. It was just my only way to try to let him know I'm here without words.
So one of the things I think that Adam was fighting against was her consistency in the home. Prior to that, nothing was consistent. Our Adam and Sammy they were shuffled from, you know, this place where they were being watched to this preschool where they were being watched to school, back to another place where they were being watched by somebody who was not generally family. And so there wasn't very much in the way of consistency. And, you know, you're 10 years old or you're 7 years old and you come up in that environment, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything is in the home. I think Adam, more than Sammy, felt constricted a little bit. But in the long run, I can't tell you how many times he's thanked Tracy for being his mom. As an adult, tough times then, but gratification now.
Those are paydays like none other.
Yes,
definitely. Right, Kevin and Tracy, has got to just be music to your ears.
Yeah,
and your heart.
Yeah, I'm interested. Are there some lessons learned, I guess, through this? You know, kind of looking back, and you've been at this now 28 plus years. And I can see some of our listeners thinking, man, what tips do you have from me? Whether it's a child with mental health struggle or just plowing through some of the difficult and dark days. Do you have each of you have kind of these tips or looking back, I'm so glad we did this, or perhaps there's even looking back, I wish we would have done this or that?
Well, I think for us, one of the things that held our family together is our religion is very helpful. I think that when we became centered as a family on Christ and tried to find a unified goal there, that made a big difference. And it actually, that was one of the things that brought Kevin back into my religion. And that is how his children responded to lessons about Christ, and it kind of softened them and it got them excited and they wanted to learn more. And as they got a little bit older, that was very helpful. Adam had a lot of anger issues, which often comes with ADHD. And I just had to learn to not take it personally, because I was just the target, but I wasn't the actual cause. And so my tip there is to just know that you need to be there to allow them to vent and be their anger post or whatever, but know that it's not personal. And with our son with schizophrenia, it's like, that's on overdrive. Yeah. That is, maybe our ADHD son gave us some lessons, some and tools training. And training to get us ready for something even, I don't want to say bigger and better, but definitely bigger. And so for me, the best advice I can be is to, you cannot take it personal, and you just have to love them and let them try to find their feelings and how to make those connections. Adam has a lot of detachment issues, and we had to just be sensitive to that as well and just try to always be there with openness and love, and try to not be too strict, even though he needed the restrictions sometimes. That was a hard balance.
Mm-hmm. So faith, it sounds like faith has been an anchor for you and your family, as well as being that openness to the communication. Now, Kevin, I got to get your take on this as well, because statistically speaking, just, you shouldn't be together. Statistically speaking, there's a greater, higher odds of actually breaking up for remarriage step families. And then you throw in with challenges, mental health challenges, and working together. The odds, seriously, are stacked against you. So what's the secret sauce? Do you have
those odds? Those odds, Steve, real quick, are like between 70 and 80%, depending on who you're
reading. It's high. Absolutely. Yeah. What have you done, Kim?
I don't know if there's a secret sauce. I think that Tracy hit on some things that really helped us kind of having a unified goal, having a unified base to build on. I talked a little bit earlier about the consistency. She is very consistent in our home, and one of the things that we've learned, I think we were taught with Adam, but we've learned and kind of been able to drill down is that, you know, with our kids, when they were children and they were having troubles, we kind of muddled our way through it with Taylor. He's, you know, certainly not a child anymore. Is he 31? 33. He's 33 years old. And so he lives in our house, and that's a day-to-day and sometimes minute-to-minute thing. he can be down there having a reasonable conversation with the two of us. And if one of us says something that's a little off track in his mind, or challenges something that's a thought that he has that's absolutely real to him, we can go from being confidants to being, well, he calls us names and
Enemies.
The enemy. Enemies, anyway. Oh, it's so
we're enemies. You know, that can happen. But we've learned that as bad as they can make us feel with the words that they say, their feelings, they are feeling that bad or worse. And so I think that we've become, we've focused on the empathy a little bit. We've focused on what they feel and what they're going through and what they're experiencing. Because if you get the opportunity to put on their shoes, you get a really different perspective on the situation at hand. And I think that that gives you, I don't want to say ammunition, but that gives you tools to work with to get past maybe the little rough patches.
And a whole heaping mound of patience as well. I'm sure that as
we've read a lot of books.
Yeah. See, they're part of that.
We've read a lot of books. I said, anything I can get my hands on, we've tried to study, read, and incorporate just on how to deal with just schizophrenia. And a lot of the things we've studied have been helpful. So, but very unpredictable.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Yeah. Well, that's a great tip in and of itself, is to reach out for resources, whether it's a counselor or books or professional or faith, but reaching out to, I call it relationships and resources that you've done. I have to ask this question. Did you ever have times of doubt? Did either of you ever feel like, surely you did at some point, like, is this exactly what I signed up for, right? This isn't quite what I had in mind when I said yes to this. How did you work through some of those, maybe that those doubts or difficult and dark days?
Yes, there were the first 5 years, probably within the first 5 years, there was probably five times. When we first got married, we said, this is it, no matter what. No going back. We're in it to do it and battle through it, basically. But since we both kind of came from different backgrounds, as all married couples do, I was raised very strict in LDS religion, and Kevin was raised in it loosely. And
and wasn't at all active, in fact. Yeah.
So when it came down...
Those were my colorful days.
Those were, yes. So when it came down to parenting our kids, our backgrounds were different, and so our choices were different. And so... it always came down to that. Our biggest challenges for us were through the kids and just through raising the kids. And so one of the bigger ones we had was whether or not our children got to choose to go to church.
And Kevin got to choose.
Yes, it is. Kevin got to choose. I did not. And so I asked him, I said, okay, how many of you kids still go to church if you didn't get to choose? Well, none of us. I said, oh, okay. So we came up with a compromise that we would allow our kids to choose, but the consequence would be...
there were consequences that came with the choice.
That helped them make that choice. That's the best way.
They'd have to stay home. What was the consequence? Do you mind sharing one or two?
When they started driving, if they did not go to church or do what they were supposed to do, they did not get to drive for a week. So kids want to drive. And they all said, hey, we told them driving is not a given right. It's something
you earn.
And it's a privilege. And so we used that mainly, and that was fairly effective for our kids to want to make sure that they got to drive and have their freedom, per se. So, but there were several times that we wondered if we made the right choice. But, we both just wanted to have a family and be married, and I think if you truly have that desire... there's very few marriages that can't work if you're both wanting it to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're both all in, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have to.
How did you not turn on each other when, especially the issues of the children came up? I hear you talking about compromise with the consequences of not going to church, for instance. How did you, or did you ever turn on each other? And how did you repair? If so,
we did. I mean,
it's honest.
We did turn on each other, and we had some in those first probably 5 years or so. We had some hellacious battles. They were sometimes right to the border where they're ferocious, you know. But you know, eventually you work through the issues and the escalation of voice and hand gestures and all of those things settle back down, and you get to the actual problem, and you work towards that, or through that actual problem, and every now and then we just had to figure that it was okay to completely, totally disagree about something and table it for a while.
Agree to disagree. We've done that often in the first 5 years especially, and still just kind of agree to disagree and then let it go, because you know, women as a rule like to bring things back up, and so when we agreed to disagree, I had to agree to let it go. So Kevin was probably better at that than I was. You know, we also had the ex's influence, and Kevin's ex-wife was a huge influence, and that was some of our battles, was how to handle allowing the kids with be exposed to some of the things she was doing, and so that was another, you know, I was taking the mama bear approach and try, you know, and that's not always the best approach when you're trying to work with adults also.
Right. So in that case, did Kevin kind of lead the way then, because they were his biological children, for instance?
Yes, he did. I just finally said, well, it's your ex-wife, it's their mom. And so he was the one that had to deal with that. And we never, ever, ever to this day have badmouthed either of our exes within our marriage. It's not healthy for the kids. So we always tried to make sure that they got their own view of their other sides. And that was hard. I must admit, it was hard for both of us sometimes to not say negative things. But we have not, and we did not. And it actually turned out to be great. The kids were able to, you know, build their own relationship with their other parents, whether it be good or bad.
There's no point in poisoning a relationship. You know, kids can't have love from too many people. Even if some of what's going on is not healthy for them, kids are smart. They'll eventually begin to understand, but their relationship with our kids' relationship with our exes was our exes and our kids' responsibility, not our responsibility. We had enough to deal with our relationship and our relationships with them. We didn't have to try to manage that too.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It was kind of interesting. Oh, sorry. It was interesting to kind of be able to step back. We just told all of our kids that, you know, if they were feeling bad about having more than one parent, we always tried to stress that it was just more people to love them, and more people to embrace them, and more people to cheer them on. And so we tried pretty hard to take that approach, even though I didn't feel it sometimes. That is the approach that we tried to take with our kids.
That is very honest of you. So are you all together sometimes at events then?
Yes.
Your ex-spouses and
back kiddos. We were just
and
all together at yes, a soccer game Saturday. For one of our grandkids. Was it? Yeah. Saturday.
My ex-husband, he lives up by you. He lives up north in Salt Lake area. So he would come for major events. but not often. And but Kevin's ex-wife lives here, and so we saw her quite often. She did have her reactions to some things were just super over the top, and so it confused the kids when they were younger at first, and then it became this battle between her and I in front of the children. And so that was the last thing we wanted to do, and so we only tried that a few times and it didn't work out well, but we did try.
Yeah. And how did you heal that? How did you heal that, Tracy?
You know, I had to just kind of let go of any thing that I felt threatened by. You know, that the exes can be very threatening to you for a myriad of reasons. But I had to just let go of that. And I had to just focus on my relationship with the kids. And I tried to be a peacemaker with her as much as I could be. But I also had to be very firm. She would definitely try to take advantage of a situation. And so there were a couple times the kids said to me, "You were mean to my mom." I said, "I was not mean. I was just firm, and adults need to be firm." So
there's some truth in that.
There
is. Oh, gosh. All that pain, right? Everybody's pain.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. And the expectations we have of exes, right? Expectations. No, it's just not easy. And they have a boss. It's never easy. But one question we love to ask our guests, please, Kevin and Tracy, is what do you think is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
For Kevin and I feel not only do we work together, but we do everything together. And we do have friends that we kind of go our separate ways with, but not very often. I feel that you need to, for me, stay connected with your spouse in all the things that you do. Not that you can't have extra interests, but, you know, we just stay connected by being by each other and connected and very grounded in what we both, our goals. And I don't know. For us, it's just been, we literally enjoy and love being around each other all day long and on vacation. People ask us, "You go on vacation?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, we have to have fun and work." So we are just together all the time. We were on one vacation and we got the nickname of Velcro. Aww. Kevin was Vel and I was Crow because
hilarious. I think that's a compliment. Very nice compliment, I think.
Because we sat by each other, we touched each other, we were always by it, and this, several people noticed that, so it was funny.
That was actually on a small sailboat. There were four couples, and then the captain and the first mate, who were also a couple. So there were, you know, five couples on this catamaran sailboat, and it was a good journey. It was a good trip.
I think
we didn't know any of the other couples. They didn't know us. So that's, yeah.
That left a lasting impression, without a doubt.
Well, we hope so.
I hope so. The one person did ask us, you know, "Why are you guys around each other so much?" And my answer was just because he's my anchor. You know, he's my anchor. He's my support. And, you know, what a great thing to have is your support, your love, and your anchor by you all the time for me.
Yeah, so powerful.
Happy for him. That's so great. Happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, your perspective as far as the key to a stronger marriage connection?
Well, I think that it comes quite a lot from compromise as well. I think that we don't have a hard time expressing what our desires are, and anymore, you know, they're so close to the same that we don't have to worry about it too much. But I'm more of an athletic person. She's more of an artistic person. We do athletic and artistic things together as much as we can. So we kind of compromise and we support each other. She sings in a choir. I go watch whenever there's a performance. I don't think I've missed one, have I?
No.
And then whenever it is that I don't do anything competitively anymore, but whenever I was doing something kind of competitive, she was always there for that too. So it's been it does this a lot. I don't know how it ebbs and flows, but and when she's flowing, I'm ebbing, and when I'm flowing, she's ebbing, and so we work our way through together.
Yeah, that compromise, that's key to a stronger marriage connection. Let me ask you, what's your takeaway from our discussion today? If there's a message that you hope, you want our listeners to remember, what would that be?
That you can make anything work you have the desire for. I feel that most people genuinely want to be married. They want to have that connection. And if you have that desire, then do what it takes to keep that connection and to keep that relationship. It's possible. And we are happy and we have a great life. And it's been a lot of work, but the reward outweighs all of the work that we've had to put into it. And so just work at it because you deserve the reward.
Oh, I love that. Kevin, what about you?
She stole my answer. Well, I think the only thing that I could add to that is we talked a little bit earlier about how we kind of learned to put our kids' shoes on or see things from their perspective a little bit. I think that would be an important takeaway in any relationship, probably marital more than any other relationship, is try to view the situation from the other side of the fence or the other set of shoes or other hat or however you want to say that, because that other perspective gives you perspective and, like I said, gives you tools to work with so that you can get past whatever little issues are working out. The other thing is, we're remarried, but I can say that for somebody who is in their first marriage, maybe just starting to have kids and bring up a family and all of that, the grass is not greener on the other side of the hill. No person people don't come without baggage. So it's better to work with the baggage that you know and try to resolve all of that than it is to go get new baggage and new problems.
I don't know if I should be offended by that or not. I don't know.
We all have it. Mine is matching baggage, I want you to know.
I've got
baggage nonetheless. It's pretty fun.
Liz, what about you? Yeah. What's your takeaway?
It's just so true, Kevin and Tracy, that the grass is always greener on the other side. And then once you get there, you realize it's AstroTurf. Right?
Yeah.
So it's best just to stay put and to learn how to be married here before we make a change. Yeah. And I love your whole idea about empathy, putting yourself in someone else's shoes, especially a child. One of the authors we had on recently, Ted Lowe, would say this favorite phrase, which I've really coined, is I'd feel the same way if I were you, which is probably true, right? If I were in that child's shoes or that partner's shoes, I'd probably feel the same way because I would be them. So I love that. And Dave, what's your greatest takeaway from our interview today with Tracy and Kevin?
Yeah, well, I'm really inspired by you. I think that my takeaway is probably a couple of words. The first is commitment. I think staying that committed, you said those first 5 years, and the research shows that can be really challenging. A lot of stress, a lot of struggles, the children and parenting, step-parenting. So staying committed through that. And I think one of the things that you mentioned is that perspective, not only taking another person's perspective, but the long-term perspective. And in other words, kind of seeing, hey, this can work out and not being so, sometimes we're just right here now. This is stressful. I want out of here. This isn't what I signed up for. But keeping that long-term, so commitment and perspective, I think that you guys, you just really shine and it shows. So I appreciate that.
It's your fault.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well, hey, Kevin, Tracy, we sure appreciate you coming on, taking time to share your story, your experiences, and tips and tools that have helped you to form a stronger marriage connection. So thank you again for coming on.
Hopefully we're helpful to somebody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know you will be. Yeah. Well, thank you.
You've been helpful to us. I guess just to speak for me, you've been helpful to me. So thank you so much.
Yeah, we sure appreciate it. Well, that's all now. Our friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Stronger Marriage Connection. We'll see you next time.
And do remember, it's the small and simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection. Take care now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org. where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.